I think that we're ready to go, and so we can call this meeting to order. Thank you everyone for coming. Today we're going to be talking about the Yamato store and garage and the Frank L. James investment property. So we can start with the Yamato store.
Okay, Chandra, beam us up. Okay, can you folks hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. This is part of the nomination, so you can go back and look at it, because today we're just featuring the architectural images, whereas tomorrow we'll have a PowerPoint that gives a little wider context of things. So this is an aerial Google Earth view, and you can see in red outline, you can see the property, and you can see that it's a very unusual shape. It's sort of parallelogram type, and that's why parts of the building are irregular. It's just because that was the Spencer tract that was carved up that way. So next. Nope, wrong way. Back, other direction. Other direction. One more. Keep going. No, keep going. No, it should be 81. Other way. Those are all the maps. Okay, there we go. Okay, this is the main floor. And by the way, Katie, what's the time frame on this? You want us to talk for 2 minutes or whatever?
It looks like you're allotted 25 minutes.
But you started
early. But yeah, it says you're allotted 25 minutes. But you know, you don't have to take all of that.
Yeah. It's give or take. It doesn't have to be that long or shorter. Up to you.
Okay, this is just to give you an idea of the ground floor, the main floor. And remember, all of the properties in Honoka'a are on an extreme slant of the land. So what you see on the street view is it looks very level. But in fact, this is a Makai property, and it drops off extremely quickly once you leave the street side. So that's the type of building is different on the Makai side from the Mauka side. But you'll only see it when I show a few of the background images. So you just might notice that the rooms is X'd out, because that was destroyed or taken down somewhere during the time that we were photographing. So it's no longer extant. It was in quite a bit in ruins when we first saw it. And you notice that the retail, I don't know, does my mouse work? No. Can you see my cursor? Anybody? Otherwise, I'll not worry about it.
Can anybody? I think we're going to only see Chandra's screen.
Okay, well, then I won't bother with it. Okay, in the lower portion, there is the main the main retail entrance right there. And that is basically the entrance, and the window formations have changed a little bit over time, but it's basically they just moved them around a little bit for more, eventually for more storage space and for other access to the second floor. Next, please. Wrong way. There we go. Okay, that's the second floor. So the second floor was for originally for the family to live, and the apartment, as we figured it out, the apartment one and two were really joined. So it was a huge living space with bedrooms to the side. And then the former kitchen is a little bit to the Makai side more. She had the cursor up there. And that is being at the point that we've photographed, it's being converted into a very small studio apartment. Okay, next. Okay, you can go all the way through these. We'll go to the photos. Okay, there we go. Okay, this is very difficult to get a lot of these shots, because you have to climb onto other people's property and back up to get a whole shot. But this is possibly the longest frontage of any of the buildings in Honoka'a.
So it definitely is.
This is uptown, and so to be distinguished from downtown. So uptown was I guess a little bit later in the development, although this is a 1919 building, and it's a contiguous building, so it wasn't something added on afterwards, except in the back where the warehousing was added onto. And so you can see the garage on the right, and then the main retail area was on the left. Go ahead. Okay, this is the main entrance, and we think that this either is the maybe the exact entrance, or they might have moved left or right. It was so easy for the plantation carpenters to pick up things and move them a little bit left or right as they were making changes, primarily for the interior spaces. Okay, next. And Ross, chime in anytime you want to.
Well, I guess the thing to explain at this point is that the building was partially repurposed. In other words, it initially was one big store. And then after the Amato store closed, what they did was the new owner subdivided some of the interior spaces. And you'll see some of the interior photographs will show a little bit more modern construction. But what you had here was basically two buildings on the left, as Laura said. It was the main retail space and with the living spare area upstairs. And then on the right, one of the early garages. This is kind of interesting because, you know, we're used to thinking about a different style of architecture for garages. And you can just see how things were accommodated over time. For example, the large door on the right, it's actually subdivided into two unequal doors. And that's because if you wanted to get in without having to bring a vehicle in, you didn't want to have to open the full huge door. So if you were a pedestrian, you could just open the door on the left. But these are kinds of things that from that period that you don't see very much anymore. Go ahead, Laura, I'm sorry.
And the regular door immediately, very central in this photograph, we believe is the reconfigured entrance to the upper level when they turned into rental spaces after the family moved out. They needed a place to access the upstairs from the Mamani Street. And so that's what we believe they did, because we can see some extant stairs way in the back of what's the, let's say, the retail first floor. But other than that, we don't see modifications of plans or anything. We're basing a lot on what we see from photographs, early and later photographs.
I might mention that the present owner he's done some work on the inside reconfiguring for smaller retail spaces, but and even the apartments upstairs, but he's already invested also in a completely new roof, which we helped him with financially. So the building has been re-roofed and then it's going to be repainted. So it's in a process of being restored.
Yeah. We might say too that the pedestrian awning it's actually contiguous, but it's a little bit higher on the garage side. And we figured that that's probably because of cars and trucks going in, couldn't quite make it from the street into the garage. And so they adjusted that up slightly so that they'd have better vehicle access. Okay, next. This is the, it's the Hilo site. This is the Hilo site of the building, taken from the next door neighbor's thing. And you notice all the Totan, nothing, you know, suggests that you have to have the backside made into perfect siding. So the Totan is serviceable. And I don't know whose revetment wall is, if it's the Yamato or if it's the adjacent Ujiki's. The Ujiki's was a little bit earlier building than the Yamato, so it might have been put in first. I'm not sure. Ross, I don't.
You can see the Totan on the right is newer than the Totan on the left. It's this kind of typical as these buildings kind of grow organically for different purposes over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you notice the ventilation windows are there. That was before the remodeling of the garage, which we'll show you in a few minutes, but very necessary to have good ventilation because of, who knows, exhaust and oil and all of the other things that you don't want to be breathing in. Okay, next. Oh, this is just another shot, but go ahead. Okay, this is the WIPO side of the light testing booth. Now, this was a phenomenon in the early part of the 20th century. And other garage, the Honoka garage, also had a light testing area. And the idea was that you were supposed to drive in and they were to see if your headlights were on, you know, the right level for looking at the street rather than shining into some oncoming car's eyes. So this was the door opening and a window, and you can see to the left, you can see a small ventilation space, I guess I should say, but I think you can see it in the next one. And then to the far right, you can see others that were originally ventilation spaces.
You're looking through a screen because this is another wing of the building, and that's Laura wanted to take a picture that had that whole wing that you're looking at. So this is the best we could do without taking the screen apart.
Right. And, you know, there's huge drop-offs everywhere you look. So, you know, it's not an easy thing. So the screen is just there from the other part of the building. Next. And this is underneath the light testing booth. So this is the only thing you might call a lower understory. It's not even a basement, really, except they put a lot of storage things in there. And you can see the ventilation on either side. And you can see that the main floor of the garage and possibly for the retail spaces were shored up with formal revetment walls for the foundation. Okay, next. And this is the most Mackay side, and they are adding, the top part, they're adding on a bathroom so it could be a studio apartment. And so we'll show you the interior, a very small place. And then the lower place was probably an add-on bathroom also with a little baby lanai. Okay, next. This supposedly was a furo and probably a shower for the sister who actually lived downhill in a separate property, which I guess was put in much later. And she didn't want to walk all the way down there to have her nightly furo and shower, or shower and furo. And so this was the place. I thought at first it was a fish pond, but it was, everybody said, it, the people who remember it said it was an actual little building spot. Next. And then this is also part of the Mackay side. And that little lanai is possibly, we see clothespins, so it probably was for drying clothes. And then, of course, they couldn't figure out what to do with the stove when they took it out of the now demolished building. And so they just laid it on its side. I just thought it was an interesting photo for how people deal with things in the rural neighborhoods, which is throw it in the gulches or leave it behind the building or under the building. And those are the windows that are the warehouse area, you can see. Okay, next. And this is, we'll go back to the main photo, but this is the extension that was put on to allow for deliveries to the warehouse section. So we're looking straight ahead at Mamani Street. So they would take a hand truck and wheel this, the supplies into this side doorway, which was a double door, and be able to store their extra goods or their just delivered goods in there. Okay, next. And this is an example of one of the retail spots, right? We don't know the last couple of months, but they had moved everybody out of the retail sections because of mold. And we don't know if people have moved back in or not, but this was one of the spots adjacent to Mamani Street.
I might mention that this was before the mold issue was a problem because of the continual additions put on the back of the building, which is on the windward side of the building. And what they did was we had to put a new roof on the building to stop leakage when you have roofs not draining directly off the side of the building, but instead collecting water together in rather a kind of unorthodox pattern. So the owners took all the tenants out and in the process of doing any kind of mold remediation that needs to be done, but the main thing was to just get a new roof on the building.
Okay, next. Okay, John. Okay, this is an adjacent retail space. So what they've done, if you think back to the floor plan of the main floor, they divided it up and put a very unusual sort of, I guess, hallway through the what was the previous interior space. Tomorrow I'll show you the one interior space that we do have from the opening day of the store. So this is the way they handled it. They put doors and windows inside on the hallway. Next. And this is inside that particular building, and you can, retail space, and you can see inside that there's another space for storage or whatever they were doing there. Next. And then this is what I just showed you from the easement on the outside, or the pathway, I should say, where the doors could open up and the retail goods could be brought in. Next, okay. This is the very back, I should say, the Mackay section of the warehouse addition. And this is the, which is the windows. There's nothing in there right now, as far as we know. But,
you can see the open rafters though in that picture and the new Toton, the replacement roof.
Yeah, when we get to the garage, notice the trusses there also, as well as maybe in the understory too. Okay, here's a shot of the hallway, and notice this is pointing towards Mackay, and there's two retail spaces on the left and two on the right. Okay, next. And this is another part of the hallway, leading out to the back section, which was, we showed you at the beginning, which was where people were standing on the baby lanai. Okay, next. And then this is the entrance to the actual door off of Mamani Street, but behind it is the retail space. And what they do is in the past anyway, they moved all the things out, like the books and other things that are on sale. So they moved them out onto the sidewalk side as well as into the hallway. But you can still see that these are the original door with the original lock assembly. Okay, next. And this is another one. I'm not quite sure what she did, maybe nails or something, but it looks like a seance or something. It's a retail space. And she is just the one who was in here was just adapting it to her particular needs and her clients. Okay, next. And that's another part of the same retail space. And go next. And this is still another part of that same retail space. And here you can see at the upper portion, you can see the what was the stairway, we believe, from the retail space upstairs to the home residence. And the back door led out to the Mackay side. Okay, next. And this is just another view of that same section. So they've divided it up in a very unusual way, but I guess it worked for the tenants that they had. Next. And this is the garage. And so notice the trusses here are extant. And the tomorrow, like I said, I'll show you some of the before they did the remodeling, they put in a lot of the drywall, and I think they put in the flooring also. And those are the open doors that were from Mamani Street. And this is another view looking Mackay from the doorways. Okay, next. And this is the light testing booth what to do with a very unusual space, but they were able to you know, put in supplies and I think a changing room and all.
That's the Hilo side Hamajang property line on the right side. That's why the room narrows.
Yeah. Okay, next. And this is the hallway going into the stairway, which will go up to the residences. And this, we believe, was put in because when the Yamato family no longer lived upstairs, it was necessary to, for readaptive reasons, to put in an external Mamani Street doorway that would lead upstairs to the rental units.
So you see the Toton on the left, the original subdivision of internal space, and then on the right is a modern plasterboard wall, which is actually, they took a few feet out of the garage space in order to make this run to the upper level.
Next. And this is just the stairways going up the Toton and windows for light. Next. And this is the same stairway, but looking down the stairs. Okay, next. And this is the outside, you could call it outside, sort of outside hallway that led to the two doors for the retail or the residence units. Next. And this is a kitchen inside. A lot of the inside, the part of the doors and windows and so forth have been brought in probably to be better accommodating to the weather, because the trade winds and rains would come in this whole section. So this is the kitchen area.
Laura, when do you think this was added?
I'm not sure. Ross, do you know? Because it's internal and they didn't file any paperwork, you know, or drawings at all.
This is, I would believe that this has been renovated after the ownership changed, probably in the early 60s. I mean, you look at the cabinetry and all like that. It looks to that period. The double sink, though, is a little bit later. Of course, the louvers and all would be probably post-war. That's the best that we can guess. The problem out in the country is, of course, is that the record keeping is extremely manini. In fact, the county doesn't usually have any records until the 1930s.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next. And then this is the bathroom that's also adjacent to the kitchen. And it probably, we don't know if it was added or not added. Probably was added. Also in those that time in which it was being made into rental units. This is one of the living rooms, and you can see the double hung windows there. And in the earliest days, this would have been a much, much bigger living space. So everything that took place was in this large family's large living room space. And bedrooms were off to either side, two bedrooms on either side. When they broke it into apartments, they, you know, typically picked up the windows and moved them sideways. You know, you can see the double 2x4s that are holding up the double hung windows. And so they just found another window that looked exactly like the ones in the frontage view. And probably it was just something filched from the back of the building. Next. And this is another view of the same living room area. You notice that the right side has the plasterboard, the drywall, and the other side is the original wood structure. Okay, next. And this is still another view of the same living room space. Notice all the original floors and everything, very nice wide board flooring.
Got the internal girt there and some built-in stuff too.
Yeah, That was probably in the day of TVs. That's what we think. Okay, next. And then this is one of the corner bedrooms. This is looking out on Mamani Street. And then you can see on the right is looking out over the sanitary laundry, the Harris Sanitary Laundry roof line. So you just double hung windows. And again, you see the same treatment with the 2x4s, double 2x4s holding up the window there. Next. And this is another bedroom space. And you can just see there's simple ones with, I don't know if I put the closet in there or not, but the closets are just sort of built into the actual bedroom space. Next. Yeah, there it is. There's the closet space. And all the original door handles and everything are still there. And like I said, the original windows, I'm not sure if I have the picture in this one, but the on the retail section on the ground floor are the wavy glass that was brought in early on when the building was first built. Next. There's the door, the old door handle assembly. Okay, next. That's another kitchen. And might be original door modified, but I don't know. And then this is the another bedroom with the part of the living room showing. Next. Bedroom again. And just so you can see that it's consistent throughout, but it's plantation carpenter's style of building. Okay, next. And then this is the third apartment. This was the one that was originally a kitchen and then converted into this studio space. Through the doorway there on the center is the add-on bathroom. That's to make it a usable rental space. And this is another view of it where they were at the, you can see the 2x4s in the front view. That was to break up the so-called kitchen space from the living space. I guess it would be bedroom and living room together.
This is exciting to have these kinds of living spaces put back into use, because we all have housing problems in Hawaii, but out in the country where there aren't so many structures, these are especially sought after. So they're usually quite reasonable in the rent too. So there's a big demand for these. So we're happy to see that the owner is trying to meet that need.
Let's go, Chandra, can you go back to the earlier overall view from Mamani Street? It would be number 80, page 80 something or the other. Other way. Keep going. You're going to go dozens of pages backwards. I just want, if there's any discussion, it's just easier to see that original facade.
Maybe if you just start the whole thing again, it might be.
Page 90, you can get one picture, we'll get full picture. If you can go to page 90. There, well, okay, that's fine. That's good. Okay. So, Ross, do you have anything more that you want to add regarding the architecture? We have questions. You can see on the far left, that was the part that was added on. We can only surmise that they're, you know, on the dates again, and that's by referring to the adjacent buildings or the buildings down the street and some of the historical photos. We can show, and we'll show that tomorrow. Ross, anything?
Just that the part of the extreme left is a false front. You can see the gate in the lower left corner. So that's quite a false front for the size of the structure. It's pretty top heavy, but it's structurally sound. This building took a lot of interpretation because it has so many different add-ons in the back and mostly on the left. There, but you really see the functionality of lifestyle use when you look at a building like this, because they added warehouse space and they reconfigured some of the space in the back, and it's just a pretty interesting story architecturally and historically.
So do you folks have any questions?
Oh, it was the guided tour was nice. Thank you, Laura.
Okay.
To have you, you know, to look at the photos and have you explain things while we're looking at it. It was helpful. Does anybody have any questions for Laura or Ross? Maybe we'll have more questions tomorrow.
Yeah.
As we absorb this.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Laura. Ross?
Well, I'll stay on to hear Don's, if he's here.
Yeah, he's here. I think I saw him. Yeah, Chandra, you want to stop sharing, or are you going to? Okay. Okay. Thank you, Laura and Ross. We'll see you guys tomorrow. I mean, you know, you could stick around.
Is Tanya on right now?
I spoke to her earlier, Ross, about our missing nominations.
Okay, thank you very much.
Check on it. Yeah.
Okay, I guess we will move on to the Frank L. James Investment Property. It's Don. Okay.
Yes, I'm here. Working on getting it up now.
Wow, you're a ghost.
Yeah, it must be the skirt.
I've noticed when I wear shirts that are striped, like very narrow horizontal stripes, it gets really, it's almost like the wearing the wrong color when you're the newscaster or something.
I'm wearing
weather person.
White either. So. I like the floating head, Don. That's really pretty.
Yes, it is. <It's>... We're almost there. Okay, can you see the picture? The slideshow?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. So this is the Frank James Investment Property. It was built by James in 1928, and then William Stearns ended up buying it in 1931. And the Stearns lived in that property throughout the 30s. So I also put down the Stearns residence as a second historic name. We don't know the architect on the building.
Don, can I ask a question?
Sure.
James, is this the fellow who is a real estate developer in Kapahulu?
Yes.
Okay.
The property that James developed is this one right here. There's a little shared lane that goes up. The property that we're registering is right here. Here's Manini Way. And I'm not sure which of the, this is one of the three, this is definitely one of the three. I'm not sure which of these two down below is the third house that he did. But I did have a newspaper article from 1928 saying he developed three, and at that time these lots were two lots. This driveway is sort of steep, and you drive up the driveway, and there's a carport at the top. The James house is over on this side. Here's another one that he developed. You go up a set of steps, and then here's a concrete walk that leads up to the house. The house is a Hawaiian style cottage, double pitch hip roof, horizontal siding. Bill knows the name of it, I forget. And has a post and pier lava rock foundation. The walls flare at the bottom and have a nice little apron. From the sidewalk, you go up a set of steps. You have, again, a lava rock wall here and a lava rock parapet for the entry for the building. And from the top of the steps, this is the view you can get out from the house of Diamond Head in the ocean in Kaimuki. You have a double set of doors that are the front entry, screen doors also. And he still has the original hardware, and he still has the skeleton keys that he put it in and showed me. This is what he still uses to lock and unlock the house. The inside is very much intact, has fir floors, which he just refinished, Kanek ceilings, Kanek wall. There's a paneled wainscot. This is taken from the front door. So you see in the back, the double hung windows. So cross ventilation across from the windows and doors in the front to the windows in the back. And it's an H-shaped house. So one side, the two wings have the dining room and the kitchen, and the other side has a hallway and the bedroom wing. The hallway has a very nice little light that's still existing from the ceiling. And then at either end of the hall, single panel doors with their glass knobs. Throughout the house, there's all the doors and hardware are intact. There's one bedroom in the back and another bedroom in the front. This is the hall closet. And in the between the two bedrooms along this wall is the bathroom, which still remains quite well intact as well. It has its board and batten ceiling, and it has a faux brick, I guess it's linoleum, wainscot, and then again, board and batten walls, and it has a nice little frieze here with the shelf. It also has the original, it's hard to see, but the original medicine cabinet.
There was a company, Don, called Lincrusta that did a lot of impressed stuff for wainscoting. I don't know if that's one of theirs or not.
Oh, okay. I'll try and check that out sometime. Okay, on the other side, you have the dining room. The dining room has little double hungs in both the front wall and the side wall, and also has cabinets in the corners. Both corners have these corner cabinets. And again, K-neck floor walls, and same panel that's in the living room. And the kitchen was probably remodeled in the 50s, I think, but it still has its board and batten ceiling, board and batten walls. The cabinetry, it looks like 50s, and stainless steel sink, which is a LK luster tone, which I chased down. Found out that they're the largest manufacturers of stainless steel sinks in the, actually kitchen sinks in the world now. And I wrote the company an email, but because of COVID, they couldn't get in and find their old catalogs to tell me what year this is from. But I'm hoping someday I'll find that out once the public relations people can go back into their offices. But Elkway started out in Illinois, and in the 30s, they started to do sinks, and during World War II, they supplied the Navy with sinks, and then they came up with some technology that made sinks quicker than anybody else, and they took over the field. From the kitchen, there's a back door which leads out to a laundry room back porch. Here it is from the outside. It's open space above, just with a lattice screening. And here's a closer look with the original sink still in there. This is the west side of the house. There's walkway leading up. The laundry room's right back here, and across from the laundry room was a servant's quarters. The servant's quarters remains pretty well intact. I have it as a contributing part of the building on the property. This deck is new, it's not original, but the rest of the house is still there, and it's done in the same style. The building permits for this one says 1939, so it was built a few years after the original house, but they use the same building techniques. You can see it has the same siding, the same flare. Hip roof with overhanging eave, double hung windows. The front, the side door, still also original. And it opens up. Here's the kitchen, which again, the sink is a porcelain sink, so I imagine that's earlier, but the cabinetry and stuff, I think is, actually it could be from the 30s. It's rather interesting. It's metal cabinets. And I don't know if you've seen this picture, but there's a nice little curve. It's not just a flat surface here. So, and you have the glass knobs are still there too. Again, Kleenex ceilings. And then one bedroom up from the other side of the cottage. And I don't think these doors are original, but these lead out to the deck. And that's the house. Does anybody have any questions?
I think it's a lovely house. I was actually able to see it in person and just quite intact with all the original materials. It really was very nice.
I had one question. You know, on the extension, 1939 extension, was that a servant's quarters?
I believe so, yes.
Do you think that, it's a slide 29 sitting there, do you think that locating the windows on the corner like that is kind of a 30s and 40s?
Yeah, very definitely. I hadn't thought of it, Paul, but yeah, very much. It's not quite a corner window, but it's close.
Yeah.
Don, this is quite, I haven't been up to see the site, but this is quite close to that one on Wilhelmina Rise, right? The Brian Moore property with the pink collection of five units. Is this?
I'm not familiar with that property.
Yeah, it is close to that, Bill.
We put it on a long time ago. And it's been, okay. I think, even in Honolulu magazine recently. But really interesting, I think it's five different units. And Brian also manages the Dillingham Transportation Building, so we got to know each other at the time we recorded it. So I wonder if there was a lot of these, like, multiple dwelling unit kind of projects up in that way. Did you know if there's any others like this?
I am uncertain. I didn't do a study on it. I know I found the newspaper. I was doing a little work on James, and at the same time he was building this, he was also doing a subdivision of 12 houses in another area. And so I think, you know, small developers were doing this. And these were all, these were two lots that had the three houses on them. And then they were subsequently subdivided out into individual lots.
Thanks.
Anybody else have questions for Don? You can see in the chat, Don, that Bill Chapman put a link to the Lincrusta information about Lincrusta And then I put up a link that's to the LK Products, a 1929 catalog.
Oh.
Just okay. For reference. Yeah, if you go to the chat part of this.
Where is that? Chat?
Yeah, if you look at the bottom of your screen where all those little things appear when you use your mouse, there's a little like talk bubble and it says chat.
Okay, got it.
If you click on that.
Uh-huh.
Katie, I don't know if we have, I have a nice copy of the Lures and Cook catalog. I mean, I had one I Xeroxed from Lowell Angel once. But I don't know if I've been able to share the other one with everybody. I shared with a number of people. I think it's on my desktop at work. I'm in home now. So maybe we should get that out to everybody because it's really helpful because it has a whole catalog at the beginning of siding types and window types. And it seems to me that it would be great. Don, I know you have that one, right?
Yeah, you sent that to me. Thank you very much.
And so I think that would be useful for us to have a consistency of language for these 20s and 30s houses. Obviously what they were using back then. You know?
Yeah. Hey, Chandra, isn't there a place on the SHPD website for documents, reference documents?
Yes, I believe so.
Chandra, do you have that already? Have I sent that to you?
No, but can you send it to me, please?
Yeah, I'll send it as soon as I get to my regular office.
Okay, thank you.
Don, I might mention, I don't know how much you found out about James, but he usually worked with a partner and he did build a number of courts across the city. But I know he got into some arguments with the city planning commission because what he was doing is he's putting a single lane of asphalt up to a lot of these courts. Mm-hmm. And they were concerned about access and the like for the fire department and those kinds of things at that time. So he went back and forth with the city planning commission quite a bit.
Oh, okay. Do you have citations on that? I'd love to read it.
I have to go back and look, but if I can find them, I'll let you know.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, and I suspect probably the Depression did not do well by him. I think he probably overextended himself. And so I found that in 1930s, he was actually working for Bishop Trust Company, who no longer had his company, it dissolved. And that's, I suspect, how Stearns got this property that was sold off. But yeah, he was, well, I'll talk about it tomorrow. In the 20s, he was partner with King, who later became governor of Hawaii. They were doing real estate development together.
Okay. So if you're looking for information about products, the APTI, the Association for Preservation Technology website, mm-hmm. has a link to a heritage library, which has over 11,000 historic catalogs, which are pretty interesting. And you can get to it online very easily. Just go to their website, apti.org, and then under resources, go to the Heritage Library. And then it has all the catalogs and you can search by, you know, year or subject or company name or anything. So there's some pretty good information in there. And that's where that LK catalog is from.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Okay, Chandra, you want to stop sharing? Thank you. Okay, anybody, any more questions or comments for Don? Okay, I guess we'll see you again tomorrow, Don.
Yes.
Anything else for any other questions regarding today's meeting? Okay, I guess we'll call our meeting to a close. Anything else?
I have a question. Yes. How many people are going to be in tomorrow's meeting?
I will be here.
I'll be there.
I'm trying to see, board members, I'm trying to see if we have quorum for tomorrow.
I'll be there. Nancy's going to be there. because I'm picking her up and setting her up.
For okay.
Finding to be there.
I'll be okay. There.
Chandra, do you know if any of them that will not be there?
Only maybe Matt. Pat will be there. So I'm just double checking, and I was going to let Matt know because he's off. He had an emergency, so he's off island right now. But it looks like everybody here is going to be there, so we'll be okay.
Okay. Thank you.
By the way, if I can interrupt, Katie, I just sent the Homes in Hawaii Lures and Cookbook off to everybody. Chandra, if you want to share with anybody that's not on my list, please do, okay? And then maybe we could post it. It's in public domain.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I'll
put it up on our site. Katie,
but other people have gotten it before. Don got it before. I just added Paul to the list. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. Well, then,
where is this located on the chat? Where is it located, the link?
You're on mute, Bill.
It's not a link.
I believe it's in the...
Or it's actually a PDF that was on my computer screen. And so I had sent it out before to several people. And so I can see if Chandra will have to distribute it to people or post it on the site because I don't have a link.
I'll send it to you, Laura.
Okay, thank you.
We'll also, I'll talk to our IT and we'll also post it on our site too.
That's good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you, Bill. Thanks, Chandra. Okay. Anything else? And I guess we'll see all you guys tomorrow. Meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, Katie. Thanks, Chandra.
See you tomorrow.
Okay. See you tomorrow.
I have a friend who had all that information before.
Yeah.
When the lighting went in and the bathrooms and everything, it was very informative. I guess he missed the meeting today.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
See you tomorrow. Thank you.